a couple of interim study requests were made regarding extension in the state of Oklahoma, and a meeting regarding those interim studies were combined into one on the 19th of September at the state capitol for the Oklahoma House of Representatives. Representative John Pfeiffer had made one of those requests, the other by Representative Tommy Hardin from southeastern Oklahoma from the Medill area. The two interim studies featured several players, including the Chadine and the Vice President for the Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources at Oklahoma State University, Dr. Tom Kuhn, and the head of Extension for Oklahoma, Dr. Damona Doy. They were, of course, talking about extension at the state level, at the county level. There was also some discussion about the Ag Experiment Station. That's the other agency that is not a strictly academic pursuit that's under the purview of the Board of Regents of Higher Education and at their mercy when it comes to funding that might be funneled down from the state legislature. Dr. Kuhn offered a perspective of the land-grant mission of Oklahoma State University, and Langston for that matter as well, but primarily Oklahoma State University, because that's where the Extension Service and the Ag Experiment Station actually is housed. He also offered some perspective on the last 10 years or so of funding that has been going down as far as the state of Oklahoma is concerned, and have left the administrators of Extension and the Ag Experiment Station with some hard decisions to make regarding programming and people. Dr. Doy jumped in and caught the lawmakers up with exactly what's gone on regarding the downsizing at the county level. That's something that's very important to a lot of the lawmakers here at the state legislature. And she offered some insights on where we really are at this time with the program to likely come up with fewer people in those county offices.
As about probably 6 months into my role, so roughly a year ago, we started getting the financial reports that kind of highlighted the position that we're in. So we continued to follow through on my predecessor's four-year plan that had been established, which was gradually reducing us from what had in recent history been two educators and an admin assistant in each of the counties. And so we were on a path to reduce that number to about 1.5 educators and one admin assistant. So when I got reports that showed me that given our allocations, our appropriations, the expected revenue within a year, that we were spending beyond that, I started to engage a lot of people in process to think about how we might do things differently to live within our budget constraints. And so I did that in a variety of ways. So I established what I called a joint council that included extension professionals at all level to help them understand the situation that we're in. It's important to me to be as transparent as possible in our discussions and to gauge people that may be impacted by that in the discussion. And so we had a variety of conversations. I had conversations with a variety of people around the state, and I talked to my counterparts in other states as well to understand how they may have dealt with similar budget crunches. And so I wish there had been research that's been done, because there's a lot of places around the country that have gone through budget crunches, but I was assured and I understand better now that every state is kind of an individual case study. There's no one size fits all. And so that's the conversation that we've been having, is that we're going to continue to evolve, but the expectation is that a year from now that we will be able to afford to invest in one educator and an admin assistant. Originally the expectation was a three-quarter-time admin assistant, but with the supplemental funding that came through the legislature this year through the Oklahoma Department of Ag, Food, and Forestry, an extra million basically provided the opportunity to keep the admin assistants at full-time in the county offices. So that does a variety of things, not only providing additional support for the educators, but provides the opportunity to keep the doors open more regularly. We already are stressed in some places where there's an educator. If the paraprofessional or admin assistant is sick one day, then you've got to struggle to keep the doors open. But so our commitment is to having two FTEs as long as the funds are available there. So that would be an admin assistant and an educator in each of the counties. So as we've observed over time, there's sometimes some trade-offs in terms of paraprofessionals. Well, counties will choose to invest in paraprofessionals as opposed to educators for the extra FTEs that they may be able to afford. I've described our, we're also continuing to encourage counties to partner with neighboring counties. And so we had one example, so Beckham and Ouachita counties immediately kind of saw an opportunity to collaborate together in sharing ag and family consumer science and 4-H programming. And so they were proactive in deciding that they wanted to work together. We've had Hughes and Seminole for several years collaborating. They're in a unique position in that their county offices are about 6 miles apart, and so it makes it easy to share educators as well as administrative staff in locations like that. But so we're encouraging our educators, our district directors, and others to seek partners to help maintain capacity in the local areas. So people have historically been in the mindset that we're going to afford a full educator or two full educators, but we have probably 7 counties now that are sharing a variety of educators, so half-time, for instance, so they may share an ag or FCS educator. And so that, again, maintains our additional capacity within the extension system to develop and deliver more programs and helps to maintain our local personnel. So at times there's been rumors that, you know, we're aiming to close county offices. That's certainly not the case. So we've had a commitment from the beginning to maintain a presence in each of the 77 counties, and so we have that commitment. So we're because of the personnel constraints and budget constraints, we're continuing to work through how we continue to deliver programming in all those areas in all the counties. So we have about 22 counties now that don't have family consumer science educator, and 15 or so that don't have an ag educator. And so sometimes it's neighboring counties sharing, but we're also asking our area specialists to step up more. So one or more of them have been assigned to a county to ensure that programming will take place there. We've continued to invest, again, through reinvesting in DASNR funds, the supplemental appropriations, in our virtual capacity. So we're trying to improve our programming in those regards. So we'll have an updated website by the end of the year, we're assured. So I'm excited about the prospects that presents, but it's not designed to go around the local offices, but to supplement what they do, and in fact, in many ways, to make the resources that they tap into more accessible to them.
Dr. Damona Doy, the head of Extension for Oklahoma State University, also speaking to the lawmakers at the request of Representative Pfeiffer, was former Oklahoma Senator Ron Justice, who served several years as a senator in the state of Oklahoma legislature. And then, of course, before that, he had a distinguished career when it came to extension service at Oklahoma State University at the county level. Dr. Justice did offer one real perspective that's very, very important to remember: the miracle of extension, the ability to transmit information from the researchers at the Ag Experiment Station successfully down to the stakeholders, folks needing that information to succeed farming and ranching and in the rural parts of our state.
Cooperative extension, it's a three-way funding, the federal, state, and county. And let's just be honest, federal funds have continued to dwindle. County funds are so limited, and each of you know, working in those in your counties, where you're at. And, of course, you, as you're appropriating dollars, you know what that situation's been over the years as well. And so we've been involved in that, and it makes it very, very difficult to try to take care of those things. I think the land-grant university system is important. It's been important to our state. And you know, the thing that concerns me a little bit as we look at land-grant universities, and there are some people that say, well, look when that was established, and we've talked about that. And so is there a need for that? I would say that there definitely is a need for it. And let me explain to you why that I think that there's a need. You know, and again, go back the whole The reason for the Extension Service and the land-grant universities is to provide unbiased, research-based, educational information to the people out in the counties. That's what our primary objective is to do in those counties. And I want to share with you a little story. Back whenever I was in Extension, we had a group of people come from Russia here. And they were going to the Extension offices across the state, and I happened to be in one of the offices that they visited. And I remember very distinctly that one of the individuals told me as we were talking, he said, you know, we do a lot of research in Russia. We really do a lot of research. We have piles of research, but we do not have a system to get it to the people. And that's really what we're talking about, is getting information to the people across the state. Now, all of you are a lot younger than I am, but you can say, well, so what's the big deal, Ron? We've got the internet now. Well, remember that part of this deal is unbiased, research-based information. And I don't have any problem with information that we get off of the internet. I think it's important to search that. But we better make sure that somewhere in this process that we've got some place to rely on, that we know that it's unbiased and it's research-based information.
Former Oklahoma Senator Ron Justice, the lawmakers struggling with exactly how do you get the monies that Cooperative Extension and the Ag Experiment Station need to do these jobs that Senator Justice talked about, as well as Dr. Doy and Dr. Kuhn. The traditional way that monies have been appropriated from the state to the experiment station, to Cooperative Extension, has been through the educational monies that have been given to the regions of higher education. And then they have allocated it to all the colleges and universities across the state of Oklahoma, including to Oklahoma State University. And then those monies, a part of those monies going to OSU, are then allocated to the Ag Experiment Station and to Cooperative Extension. Lawmakers really can't pinpoint additional resources to Extension and the Ag Experiment Station because they simply have to be lumped together with what is given to the regions. That's a problem. The lawmakers have acknowledged that. They've actually done some earmarking of small amounts of money through the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture budget, a couple of $1 million initially, $1 million to Ag Experiment Station, $1 million to Extension, and they've now gone up to a $3 million pot of money that they're now actually directing through the Department of Agriculture. But is that the right way to do that? Several lawmakers brought up the question, is it time to separate the monies that are actually directed to Cooperative Extension and to the Ag Experiment Station away from those funds that are actually lumped together with educational pursuits and handed over to the Board of Higher Regents? There was a good bit of discussion about that. Dr. Kuhn of the Division of Agriculture did not offer any opinions, backed away from that, saying that is more of a political decision to be made one way or the other. Former Senator Justice did offer his thoughts that you need to be very careful, that there are some unintended consequences. You've got to make sure that you don't lose any of your matching funds coming in from the federal government along the way. And you've also got to make sure that the teaching component of the College of Agriculture that's under the purview of Dr. Kuhn is not harmed in any way as well. At the end of the day, Representative Hardin from Medill offered this admonition to his fellow lawmakers. He said, maybe it's time for us to take a hard look exactly how the monies flow to the Extension Service and to the Ag Experiment Station.
Members, we've got to make the decisions. We can't depend on the Board of Regents and everybody else to make the right decisions with what affects our county. So, you know, hopefully we can come up with some legislation that will direct that funding in a more precise way that we can, you know, protect the people that we represent, protect the children that are growing up in these programs, because you know and I know when they come to the Capitol, these Extension students, the ones that have gone through all these programs, are so much better prepared to to talk to us and to address the issues with us. But, you know, I just think it's something we need to protect, and I'll be glad to work with anybody and try to come up with some solutions there.
In years gone by, there simply hasn't been much appetite to take on the status quo in how these monies are allocated. But in talking afterwards with Representative Pfeiffer, there appears to be a willingness among lawmakers to take a fresh look at exactly how these monies are appropriated by the legislature and whether putting those monies in with educational monies that are then handed over to the regents, is that the right way to get the job done? Talk about extension in these interim studies conducted by the Oklahoma House of Representatives. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.